Welcome to Women on the Line, one of Community Radio's National Feminist Current Affairs programs produced by women and gender diverse broadcasters at 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne on unceded Kulin lands and broadcasted nationally on the Community Radio Network. I'm your host, Senya. On today's show, we chat with Hung Chung, a grassroots organizer and former Greens MP, as well as Lily Vu, a committee member from VietSpeak. We chat about preserving the Vietnamese language as well as organizing tactics for bilingual education. Hung will be facilitating a campaign workshop with VietSpeak on Sunday, 26th of October at Borderlands Cooperative in Footscray. Let's hear from Hung and Lily.
Hi, my name is Lily. I'm a second generation Vietnamese Australian. I'm a key advocate for community languages and I am a committee member of VietSpeak.
I'm Hung Trung. I'm a grassroots organizer on Boi Wurrung lands of the Kulin Nations, and I was born and raised here in the western suburbs of Melbourne. My parents were Vietnamese boat people and met in a refugee camp in Hong Kong, and I've got kids of my own, and I'm so keen to help VietSpeak in this next campaign.
It's great to have you both here. So Lily, I'd like to ask you first, who is VietSpeak and what are you working on at the moment?
Sure. So VietSpeak is a community-based nonprofit organization based in Melbourne's West. So we formed in response to the loss of Australia's only Vietnamese English bilingual program at Footscray Primary School in 2020. And so our broad mission is essentially to build support for and to build bilingual programs that support the preservation of Vietnamese language and culture. So alongside this broader campaign, some of our current projects are we're working on the development of language-based walking tours in partnership with Cherry Crescent Preschool in Braybrook, which runs a very successful Vietnamese bilingual kinder program. And we're also preparing for the third iteration of our Language in Community Festival in 2026 in the city of Maribyrnong, which is essentially a celebration of language diversity. And there'll be a bunch of stores, workshop performances from a range of community groups.
Wonderful. Alongside with VietSpeak, so in 2020, Footscray Primary School closed its bilingual language program, which offered dual education in both Vietnamese and English. I know that VietSpeak was formed in response to this closure, and I know that advocacy can be a really slow process. So how has VietSpeak been advocating for the reinstatement of Vietnamese bilingual programs in Victoria, and what strategies have you been focusing on?
In our advocacy, VietSpeak takes a holistic approach. So we see language education as something that happens in the home, in the school, and in the community. So our work really tries to address these interconnected spaces of learning. So that means that we engage in formal education from preschool onwards. So we have a partnership with Cherry Crescent Preschool, as well as informal settings. So in our formal education advocacy, we've tried talking to schools in Melbourne's West to build support for Vietnamese bilingual programs, but so far there hasn't been success. So there's been some resistance to supporting community languages in mainstream public education. We've also tried engaging with local MPs, but were essentially relegated to just being community schools or Saturday schools. So these are just some of the structural issues that we're facing. But having said that, we've also had a lot of success through informal settings. So as I mentioned before, we have our Language and Community Festival. A few years ago, we had a bookmaking project in partnership with the preschool, which actually resulted in a published book, which you can buy, called Crocodile và Unicorn đi chơi. So these stories and images were actually created by parents and children from the preschool through facilitated workshops. And there were opportunities to, you know, sit down and talk about what it means to lose a language, but also to hold on to it and pass it down.
I became involved in, well, I came across VietSpeak when they ran the first Languages and Community Festival, and it was rained out. Do you remember that, Lily?
Well, I wasn't actually there for the first one, but
it was still really, really well attended, which was so gorgeous. And then the second one, I did Vietnamese karaoke, which was really funny because I was also a candidate. And it was so hideously embarrassing. And then, like, I reminded myself whilst I was on the stage, like, I actually don't know how to dance. So it was very, very funny. And I'm like just shameless. So whatever. And then getting to know An Huang, who with you, Lily, formed that really gorgeous core group that have been doing VietSpeak since 2020, like, so for the last 5 years. I can hear that, like, it's quite deep commitment and it's a quite serious project that you're after, not only the language, like the bilingual program, language program, but it's really decolonial. Like, you really center First Nations culture and language, as you know, because we're on stolen lands. But also, it's like so cross-cultural in a really empowering way. So in that second festival, they had words that are untranslatable to Vietnam, to English. And I just thought of all the words, like nhường, and just a whole bunch of and ngang and stuff, right? To that I understand in Vietnamese that are not translatable, but they just so like nhường is a really huge word for me because I'm the eldest of seven kids, and being
Oh
a like
gosh.
Chi Hai, you know, like that's how you being firstborn, you're just like you defer, you have that leadership role, but you also you give up a lot to your younger brothers and sisters, be just because that's how you honor the position of being firstborn and a caretaker for, like, you know, a carer for all your younger siblings. And yeah, but that just to not be understood as a Chi Hai in Australian culture, like I didn't realize it affected me so much in terms of feeling understood. So yeah, I just feel like VietSpeak is incredible. I didn't really become Vietnamese, even though I was born here, until I turned 30 and I was pregnant with my second kid, Teddy. Because when I was pregnant, I was like, damn, I gotta teach these kids about culture now, because I've been so coconut up till then, like, and you can be. Like, I grew up in the 80s, hung, and it's like multiculturalism's heyday, you know. And so but it was also like the colonizer's language. It was just much, much easier than to speak Viet anywhere with your friends even. And so the Dual Identity Leadership Program from the Vietnamese Community Association, which is kind of restarting now, but in its first iteration, I think it was when we joined, when I was 30, having my kid, Viv Nguyen, who's now the Multicultural Commissioner for Victoria, shepherded us through this really embedded, you know, what is Vietnamese history, what is Vietnamese culture, what is our diaspora relationship with the communist government. And then, like, you got to hear from Greek Australians and just a whole bunch of other multicultural Australians about an SBS radio to really understand what it means to be 100% Vietnamese and 100% Australian, but completely different to the next person who, you know, came in this similar migration wave or whatever, or refugee wave. So yeah, I just learned so much about being Vietnamese, going through VietSpeak. And VietSpeak is a weird name, isn't it, Lulu? Because it's actually community languages, like, for everyone. It's so powerful. I just love it so much. So, which is why I was like, hey, I'll volunteer to lend all of my organizing skills to help you all out and win this thing.
Yeah, it definitely does feel like an uphill battle sometimes just to get recognition. That because like community languages are so embedded into a way of life. There's like a social and human value to it. Like it does so much to for community relations and for social cohesion. But I guess the same sort of main discourse is like, okay, you learn a language for economic purposes, or like it's a European language because there's a, you know, this element of prestige and elitism. And so
It's
yeah,
the colonizer though, right, Lily? We're in Asia. Australia, the
because
continent, is in
in
Asia.
Asia for sure.
Yeah. But we just, like, my kid learns Spanish, as I mentioned before, at primary school. Every year they go through a different country that speaks Spanish. But of course there's dozens of them because the Spanish were colonizers.
Nice.
But in terms of, like, even thinking about learning an Asian language, Mandarin or Vietnamese or, you know, whatever, like, it's just, I think it really speaks to how colonial our thinking is on this continent, you know? Just they'll eat our food, but they won't let us speak our languages.
Yeah. I mean, also to add on to that, just like the various nuances with dialects too in Vietnamese, right? I mean, a lot of us here speak like a southern accent, though maybe at home we might speak something a bit different. And that's also reflected in the food that's on offer at restaurants here. My dad's side is from Guangnam, the middle region, and so like my grandma speaks a certain way, but I never thought it was that different to how other Vietnamese people speak. But then when you go out, you're like, oh, why you say it in a certain way like that? But it's that's the beauty of it. It's like even within the Vietnamese language, there's a lot of diversity.
And it's politically charged as well, I think. Mm. Yeah. There's a lot of southern racism against the north. I don't know how the north feel because my parents are also southerners and essential people. So, but I think at the end of the day, the sense that we want language and culture to persist in the next generations, I think that's pretty consistent. So, and it could be a unifying thing. I know our Vietnamese community in Victoria and Australia are quite fragmented right now politically, well, actually on all lines, like around trade, around relationships with the communist government, around history, around, you know, intergenerational stuff in terms of, you know, how we trade with countries that are committing human rights abuses and stole our land, I guess. But yeah, and across the religion as well. But I think what culture and voice and language surely could be a starting point for us to heal from a lot of that. And I know the Vietnamese Museum, well, if you don't mind, Hung, I'd really love to talk about the opportunity. I'm excited about having worked with a couple of Vietspeak people to see what the opportunity is to campaign for a bilingual language school in the West. Yeah, I tried to learn Vietnamese at the tertiary level and discovered, I reckon it was like maybe a dozen years ago that Vic Uni was the only one that offered it. And I just looked up before this interview and I don't think they offer it anymore. You can learn to teach Vietnamese in schools, but you can't actually learn to speak it before you learn to teach it. So, and just thinking about us who are first and second generation who grew up with Vietnamese as our first language, once we age out, I'm not really sure where the teaching workforce is going to come from. The other thing is, like in the West, we've got Vietnamese language schools, yes, Saturday schools, the preschool in Cherry Crescent. We've got a number of primary schools, none of which I understand, like actually teach Vietnamese. Is that right, Lily?
There is one in Footscray Primary School in Richmond West. They deliver Vietnamese as a LOT subject, so it's not a bilingual, but it's just a few hours a week, which for us is like not enough, but we'll take anything at this point.
right. It's something to build on, right? And then there's Braybrook College. So my understanding, because I was on Sunshine College, because the schools out in the West, we've been neglected by the Labor Party for so long, our schools are really underfunded. So I was, before my eldest was at 4 years before she was at high school, I sat on Sunshine College school council and I was like, hey, you know, how do we make this a really awesome school? What are we missing? And it was really hard graft, but one of the things I learned there was they have an Auslan kind of support facility and there's a real shortage of Auslan language opportunities to learn schools, and you have to go into the middle of the city to do it. And teenagers, you know, are unlikely to do that. And we were trying to get a Auslan LOT up at Sunshine College. Can you imagine if a kid graduates high school, goes into like a nursing course or a you know, other trade course, but already knows how to do Auslan at a VCE level? Like, that's crazy, you know, like that's really opening up the, because there's a huge shortage of Auslan interpreters at the moment. So thinking about that pipeline stuff, but also knowing infrastructurally schools need funding, like enough money for teachers, sometimes special facilities, sometimes like to carve out the time for teachers to do the extra work to set up a language program, you know, the curriculum maybe over a number of years, ease it into year seven and then, you know, subsequent years. So there's a lot of practical things the school needs to go through. And you also, like I realized too with the 4 years on school council there, having the support of the principal class, which is the principal, assistant principals, like the coordinators, is so key to anything that can be put up as a program successfully. And so like there's a lot of work for us to do through Vietspeak, if we want a bilingual language program, to make sure that the parent community are hungry for it and know that they can ask for it. That's the other thing about living in a safe labor area. People like just give up on asking for the things that they need, and they organize themselves. And then also, making sure that we're removing and working with schools to completely make sure that it's as easy and most compelling to be able to set up a language program. So, like, that's the work ahead of us. There's an election next year for the state government, state Victorian state election, and so, you know, politicians tend to pay attention then. But for my part, as a grassroots organizer in the West with a number of years of experience under my belt, it's really about getting communities to know that they don't have to wait for politicians to get this stuff off the ground, to ask for this stuff, to imagine what it could look like. And I think that's our work. When we come up to this workshop on the Sunday, the 26th of October in Footscray, when we gather anyone and everyone who is interested in seeing this come together or helping, or even just, you know, dreaming with us what it might look like. I think that's a very critical first step for making sure that we're on a path to making this a reality for the western suburbs of Melbourne.
On community radio around Australia, you are listening to Women on the Line. Today we chat with Hung Jung, a grassroots organiser and former Greens MP, as well as Lily Vu, a committee member from VietSpeak. We talk about preserving the Vietnamese language, as well as organising tactics for bilingual education, and Hung's upcoming workshop with VietSpeak on the 26th of October. Let's continue to hear from Hung and Lily.
In an article that you wrote earlier this year, you talked about relationship tactics tend to be often demoted as a favourable tactic for elections. Could you talk more about what you learnt about your campaign around the western suburbs and building relationships in this neighbourhood?
Well, the thing about elections is that it's like, I imagine what it's like to work towards a grand final. Everyone's just like super obsessed about, you know, social media or getting into the papers, or and I think underneath it all, we overlook and devalue the relationship building part, and which is something that I'm really, really committed to. And as a candidate, the thing that people might not know is that when you're going around to all these different communities, you actually get to see people's day-to-day lives in a really intimate way. Like, I know more than I've ever known about what it's like to move through the world as a hijabi Muslim woman in the West, you know, because I've been to the mosques, and I've been to their fundraisers for Palestine, and I've been to their, you know, whatever community group or community program that they run every Saturday or whatever it is. It's incredible. What I understand is there's a lot of us out here in all these different communities, in the mosques and the gurdwaras and churches and temples in the back of industrial lots in the western suburbs, or, you know, out in, you know, Saturday language schools, sometimes out of people's living rooms if, you know, they can't find a local space. We're already knowing how to and are doing it, the organising of ourselves to meet our community's needs. Now, what I do as an organiser and what I'm trying to assist with VietSpeak is just bring all these people together and go, we already know how to do this. Let's just get really strategic and really organised and win the damn thing, you know. Ask for what we need, get the skills and the connections that we need, the critical connections, so that we can build that critical mass that's going to get the politicians paying attention. And if they don't pay attention, let's just bloody build the school ourselves, or develop the program ourselves. One thing the Sunshine College crew, the parents, we were thinking about organizing like an after school Auslan program to start getting the kids interested into Auslan, you know, because they had a lot of friends who were deaf or hard of hearing, and you know, for them to learn to communicate and connect with their peers a bit more. Would probably be a first step to them being more interested in learning it at a VCE level. So, yeah, that's what my thinking is, that we already know how to organise ourselves. If we can work across communities and even just to connect the Vietnamese community who are like day-to-day in the street, my neighbours, you know, the two out of three households in Sunshine North who are Vietnamese speaking, if we can connect them to this idea that, hey, we can ask. We've also got the opportunity of this incredible Vietnamese museum that's being built in the middle of next year, 2026. We've got Braybrook College that teaches Vietnamese through to VCE 7 to 12. And we've got the Quang Minh Temple and a couple of other really prominent temples, Vietnamese Buddhist temples and Vietnamese churches and stuff that are where people already organize. And we can have that conversation about what would you feel if your kids and your kids' kids could access a program like this, and we can keep our culture strong. So there's so much opportunity now, and I'm really, really excited for it. So if your listeners can get there in time, 26th of October, there's a form to fill out so we can make sure that the Vietnamese lunch is catered to your dietary requirements. You'll meet the coolest people, the most committed. Everyone's doing this for the love of community languages. And yeah, it's just going to be a really, really incredible day. 10 till 2 on Sunday, the 26th of October in at Borderlands Cooperative, which is 30A Pickett Street in Footscray.
Great, thank you so much, Hung. So just in terms of the workshop, are you foreseeing that it'll be like a one-off workshop, or there could be a series leading up to the election?
I imagine, and Lily, you can jump in anytime. I feel like this work is going to be really consistent through to November 26th. And so this first one is just shaping the initial strategy. But as more and more people become interested and involved, then we'll see more and more of each other. So we'll just do whatever it will take to get this on the political agenda. But aside from the political agenda, I think there'll just be a lot of connections made, and chances are it'll be fortnightly catch-ups to make sure that things are still ticking on. And yeah, as we grow and get more connected, yeah, the work will just grow from there. But yeah, initially, just get all the brains in the room to make sure that we know where all the opportunities are and how to make the most of them.
Yeah, great. I really love what you said about, just bringing people together in the room. There's nothing like being together actually in a physical space, I find.
So true.
And yes, yeah. And so I guess I want to touch on that a little, and I'd love to hear from you, Lily, too, like in terms of successful organizing, like what's one kind of message that you could share with our listeners around, yeah, motivating people to come to these things, because it is a harder time for a lot of people at the moment, economically and whatnot. So, yeah, so what's something that you could kind of share with our listeners in that regard?
I think with organizing, what VietSpeak tries to do and what we think is key is relationship building. Like, all of our work is essentially made in partnership with the community. And so, whether that's formally through partnerships, for example, we've had workshops on intergenerational language practices, which were co-delivered with Angus Neighbourhood House and educators in Footscray. There's also informal ways, such as like the walking tours, which we designed with kids and parents as just supporters in the community. And a lot of our activities are focused on, building these deep relational, th these deep relationships and connections in the community, and fostering this sense of social connection and social cohesion. And I feel like that really does build up the momentum for the things that we do want to achieve in the future, such as getting a bilingual program off the ground. So we're very much focused on the community, what the community's needs are, and this idea of co-designing with them. So we're getting their input. It's not just led by VietSpeak. It's a very much a collaborative practice.
I hear that, and I stand that so hard, and I've seen it with the Languages and Community Festival that, yeah, I can't wait to have the third iteration on its way. I think if it's difficult. One of the things in my core practice as an organizer is to name the things that we're trying to build. And when we're thinking about what Lily just described then, where there's like formal collaborations, informal collaborations, and then just purely getting people to connect on the things that matter to us and to VietSpeak and to each other. The thing that I often think about, even with election campaigns or just community campaigns, is whether we are successful or not. And obviously, we're trying to be as strategic and effective and efficient as possible to get the towards, like, say, our campaign goal of a bilingual Vietnamese program in the West. The relationships are what withstand and are the most valuable thing at the end of the day, whether whatever the real results of the election or the campaign. And I think about, like, we've all been through the pandemic, and I wonder if we had had these deep relationships through the pandemic, what we could have been able to fight for, you know, because the pandemic for me was a little bit of a test of our systems collapsing. We know, like in Footscray, back in April, the cops shot a homeless Somali man, and the African communities and the local community in Footscray are trying to stand up and have a cohesive response about what's next to prevent police violence in that way again. But none of that is able to happen without these sorts of relationships where we know one-to-one, person-to-person, who's in that community that we can speak to, how much have we been able to build trust and lean on each other and ask for things and also repair, like if there's any kind of conflict or miscommunications, like we've been out in the trenches together, we've been able to figure out like where we hadn't quite agreed and we at the end of the day ended up back in each other. I think what I've seen in Palestine solidarity movements, in the climate organizing that I've done, and also in Vietspeak, is like if we had to, like these are all our neighbors now. You know, we know each other by name, and we know each other's family situations and our migration stories and, you know, how we've been trying to navigate bureaucracy and the colony and, you know, lazy MPs and how we've been able to work through conflict and cooperation within our own communities, intergenerational conflict. It's a very, very common thing across ethnic communities. And we share all those lessons and we just get shit done. I'm just really, really proud that Vietspeak has been able to do that and is now 5 years into its existence and is ready to level up. I think that's what's going to change the world.
And that's all for Women on the Line today. Today we heard from Hung Trung, a grassroots organizer and Greens MP, as well as Lily Vu, a committee member from Vietspeak. We talk about preserving the Vietnamese language as well as organizing tactics for bilingual education. Hung will be facilitating a campaign workshop with Vietspeak on Sunday, 26th of October at Borderlands Cooperative in Footscray. You can RSVP on the Vietspeak website at vietspeak.net. Thanks to the Community Broadcasting Foundation for their financial support. The theme music for Women on the Line is by Ripley Kavara. I'm Senya, and tune in to Women on the Line next week on your local community radio station.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.